Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
I'm Steve Brett.
And this week we have an extra special guest. His name is TJ. And I got some. I've got to read this because I asked TJ or Trevor. I'll introduce him properly now. I asked him for a bit of bio so I could, you know, explain him to the audience. They knew who you were. He describes himself as an inadequate stay-at-home house bitch. Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Intellectually contrarian gobshite. Man after myself, I like it. Ungrateful benefit sponge. Fair enough. TJ abandoned a typical philosophy graduate career in call center and shop work to concentrate on having a variety of fits, one of which we hopefully will not experience this evening. Please, TJ. Say hello.
Hello.
I was a bit concerned by the pause there then.
Not having a fit. Just enough of a pause to make you terrified.
That you did.
So, thanks for doing this, TJ. Thanks for being on. Hopefully you can spice things up a bit.
Okay.
Or at least that's what the wife said to me when she turned up with that guy at the door the other day.
Oh, man, I've got an image.
Yeah, you read that one, that image.
Hey, what's wrong with the wife? Come on. So, anyway.
She was behind you. That's what's wrong with my image.
That's going down a whole different road.
Hey, you thought that.
Yes, onto the serious work of a podcast. This is the benefit of doing it live now, is this: I have no control whatsoever of you misbehaving, and now I've got TJ misbehaving as well.
I'm hurt, John.
Yeah.
If I just apologise once now, then I'll
Go on, apologise now, get out the way.
I'm so sorry. Actually, it's a good idea for me to mention now that there should be some sort of massive disclaimer. In case I do have a hypo, is the most likely thing that I have, I might start to say weird things. I might start to believe weird things. And I have to claim that I might not be responsible for everything that I say.
Well, but as long as you start, claiming a belief in the true goodness of homeopathy, you'll be fine.
Yeah, Scientology, that's another
Never
one.
Never gonna.
No.
That's all right then.
So,
let's just line up the lawsuits.
Is there anybody that you just, you know, you don't want to offend? In particular.
I don't want to offend anyone.
Oh, that's quite cautious. Well, I try and
offend
some people.
I don't really mind.
All right, let's get on with this.
You're actually out to... Okay.
No, I'm just winding up. Right, we'll get on with the show, and we're going to open with... Steve, you can open.
Oh, thanks, John. That's brilliant. I'm quite glad you've come to me, because I'm just reading a great story. Well, it's not a great story. It's actually quite a tragic story, but it's just typical fodder for the Daily Mail. Because it's got everything in it. It's got immigrants, it's got Jehovah's Witnesses, it's got road accidents, it's got the works. So I'll read out the headline and then we'll just have a little chat about what we think about it. Driver jailed for killing 15-year-old Jehovah's Witness who refused a blood transfusion.
Right.
So we've got an Iraqi immigrant who lost control of his speeding car and smashed into the young lad who tragically died as a result of the accident. I guess really what the article is saying is that, you know, the guy had refused a blood transfusion because he was Jehovah's Witness and that contributed to his death.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we've spoken about this in the past, but I think there's an interesting issue here now, is because somebody has been prosecuted for manslaughter. I haven't got through the full article yet. But has been sentenced to a 6-year jail sentence because this boy died. But this boy refused a blood transfusion. If he'd had the blood transfusion and survived, what would the court case have been then? I think that's just quite an interesting point to look at. Is that because of his choice, because of his religion, not to have the blood transfusion, should this guy be punished for causing death by dangerous driving, I guess?
Yeah, no.
What do we think?
I think that's a great story.
Is that definitely what he got
I'm just reading.
For?
Yeah, I'm just reading through it now.
But as a thought experiment, then.
Yeah, as a thought experiment, I think it's an interesting point. Yeah, I mean, he pleaded guilty to causing death by dangerous driving, was disqualified from driving for 10 years and sentenced for 6 years.
Yeah, but a plea bargain would have, you know, probably been on the cards. You know,
But I mean, it's still death by dangerous driving.
Sure.
But the point is that the boy refused the blood transfusion, which potentially could have saved his life. So he wouldn't have necessarily died had he had that blood transfusion.
No, sure.
Admittedly, it was horrible event, and the guy who caused the accident should be punished for that, but should be punished for death by dangerous driving because that boy had a chance of life through having a blood transfusion.
Okay, what's your take on it?
It's like
TJ?
A perfect storm Daily Mail story.
Absolutely.
If the driver was a footballer as well, that would be pretty much every box ticked. But there isn't really a crime, is there, for causing actual bodily harm by dangerous driving, is there? If there were, that would, I think, be the kind of middle step that you should go for, if you definitely would have survived without getting the medical attention. Or if he had got the medical attention and he would have survived,
right? Yeah.
Then they should prosecute him for as much damage as he did, rather than the additional damage done to him by his own beliefs.
So you're saying that it's a bit unfair on the driver to be done for causing death when it wasn't necessarily all of his fault. It was, you know, he wasn't. I mean, is he directly responsible, or does he become indirectly responsible?
Well, if somebody were driving their boyfriend or girlfriend to the hospital because they had taken an overdose, and you just get a little fender bender with them, and that stops them from getting to the hospital in time, well, that would be causing death inadvertently because of something the other person had done.
Hmm.
But surely you wouldn't get death by dangerous driving for that.
No, good point. Okay, I'm with you. I actually think that maybe causing death is a bit stiff. I mean, unless they could show that he willfully drove into the young
well,
man.
Well, I mean, the story goes that, you know, I did have to laugh at the journalism here. He was overtaking a car on the wrong side of the road. I would generally think if you're overtaking a car, you would be on the wrong side of the road. Otherwise, you're on the pavement. But, you know, that's another issue by the by. But,
that's
yeah,
true. You should be commended for using the wrong
yeah,
side of the road.
Yeah, absolutely. But basically, I mean, the eyewitness says that he was driving, he very quickly, he was overtaking, and, you know, as the driver, he is culpable for the accident. You know, it's not as if the lad ran out in front of him or anything like that.
Mm.
He was actually stood preaching.
Oh, are you trying to sway me to go the other way now?
When he got hit. No, sorry. I'm sorry, because as I said to you before we came on, like, I've got a bit of a sick sense of humour.
Right, okay.
I was trying not to laugh there, which is absolutely horrible, and I do apologise. But I just saw an irony of him preaching and getting hit by a car.
Especially
so sorry,
if he's wearing a sandwich board that said,
"The end of the world is nigh," or something like that. So I do apologise.
Making a note.
That was
apology for inappropriate laugh number one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't keep count.
No, no. But so yeah, but basically, you know, I'm kind of with you guys, actually. I do kind of think that, you know, we've got a tragic accident here which has resulted in the death of somebody. But it's a death which potentially could have been prevented. So, I agree with you, TJ. I mean, I think there should be some kind of middle ground there, sort of like, you know, an ABH by dangerous driving or something like that, rather than, you know, having a death by dangerous driving, because had the boy received a blood transfusion, he could have survived.
Hmm.
You know, that was a choice which he undertook because of his faith, and ultimately it's cost him his life.
How old was the young man again, sorry?
The young man was in high school. He was 15 years old.
So there's also another question, and shut me up if I, you know, if you don't want to talk about it, but, you know, should somebody who's, like, under the age of 16, should they be able to decide they want to die or not? What do you think?
That's a very good point. Oh,
you know,
man.
Not allowed to vote, are they? So, you know.
You know, and technically, there's a few things that they can't do without their parents' consent or whatever. So I'm just wondering.
But I guess in this circumstance, I'm assuming here, I'm not making that judgment, but I'm assuming that his parents would be Jehovah's Witnesses as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So the blood transfusion wouldn't have happened even if it was their decision.
Okay, all right. So, but say, you know, he was admitted and it was life or death. The parents were nowhere to be found yet because obviously it's going to take him a while. They need to make a decision within
it's
5 minutes.
It's the doctor's decision as far as I'm concerned.
So do you think the doctor should be able to override his will?
At
15?
At 15, no, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you know, using you as an example, John, I don't know how old you were, but you were a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Up until I don't know how old you were until you know, had your...
Well, it's not like you don't wake up one day.
No, no, but I mean you came through a period of realization.
Yeah. Well, you know.
What's to say? I this is purely assumption, and I know that. But what's to say that this tragic young man wouldn't have got to 20, and by the time he got to 20, actually considered his religion to be a complete waste of time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
He would have been out-doctrinated.
Yes.
At that point.
Absolutely. But you know, he's made his decision.
That could be the word.
At this point.
So what do you think, TJ, of the overriding of, you know, minors, you know, by doctors?
As dodgy as you make that sound, I do appreciate what you actually mean. And actually, I'm all for it. I think that if you're under the age of 16, I don't know if I'd... I think at 16 you can make your own decisions, and before then...
Are you in favour for
religious considerations are only of the parents.
Yeah. Are you in favour of lowering the voting age?
No, I think 16 is old enough to say, but that, it wouldn't be up to me. But that's what I would vote for. But like Richard Dawkins has often said, there are no religious children.
Okay. Right. I'm going to move on with my story, if that's okay, if we're done with that. This week... Well, I saw this today. I think this is pretty much hot off the press. Westboro Baptist Church, our friends in America.
Good old Westboro.
Have decided they're going to picket Elizabeth Taylor's funeral. Now, she hasn't been gone long, so I take it this was a very quickly made PR move on their behalf. You know, strike while the iron's hot and all that. Obviously because of her work with AIDS charities, she set up her own foundation, mm-hmm. which I believe raised £50 million for AIDS around the world. They decided they're going to picket her funeral, and they had some nasty things to say, as usual.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The death of Elizabeth Taylor provides yet more proof that Almighty God's justice is divine and righteous, if not always swift. I kind of like that. That's what makes me think they're posed sometimes, because they squeeze a joke in. They say, he's quite swift, but he let her go till she was, 79?
Yeah.
Her efforts to thwart AIDS, a plague sent by God to wipe out the unclean beasts from his grace... have been punished. And this is the offensive bit for me. Miss Taylor's passage into hell should also serve as a warning to all the Christ-killing Jews and queers and atheists in Hollywood. You are the measure of the company you keep. So I don't think I need to read
it. Wow, that's pretty much everyone in Hollywood, isn't it?
I think that has pretty much covered everyone off, yeah.
I want to see that Venn diagram.
That's right. And the tiny sliver where the Phelps family fall out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, now, I mean, we're not going to dwell on this story long because I think we're all in agreement that they're a bunch of dicks. yeah, so...
Well, their practice of turning up and being as offensive as possible in the hope that somebody punches them and that they can sue them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think... If that is their only motivation, then this is a brilliant move on their part because there's going to be an awful lot of rich people at that funeral.
This is a good point, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Is there going to... Hopefully there'll be a counter-protest by, you know... Sean.
Anyone, really.
But yeah.
The Film Actors Guild of... as per Team America, the Film Actors Guild, or the FAGs, as they were called...
To be honest, if I was walking past the funeral and I saw them there, I'd join the counter-protest. That goes without saying. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of people there telling them, you know, that they're a bunch of idiots. But
the question here, John, I just want to come back to you because my pure thought is I just think they're scum, the Phelps family, to be honest with you. I think Westboro Baptist Church, absolute disgrace, and I've got no time for them at all. But the question which I want to come back to is, it's a question of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to ask you about here, John, is you are a proponent of freedom of speech.
I am, yes.
And I would say that I am as well. Although we often
I now disagree after something.
I gotta say, I'm a proponent of free speech, and from listening to you in the past, Steve, I don't think you are quite so much.
Not quite so much, no. But this is my point now. As a proponent of free speech, surely the Phelps have got a right
to stand there
and protest.
I agree. Yeah, they can. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I think they're dicks, but that's their right, and it's protected.
That's fair. That's all I want to check with you, because my opinion would be no, they shouldn't be. They should be moved on.
Wow.
So surely you only believe in the freedom of people to say things that you find perfectly comfortable and ordinary.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. My
view is always this: is that if people are deliberately setting out to cause offence to another group of people, then no, I think they shouldn't be allowed to. That's kind of my position on it. You know, if people want to say things like, you know, Richard Littlejohn, as much as I hate what he writes in the Daily Mail, he's entitled to write that whether I agree with it or not. But you know, the Phelps family deliberately set out to cause as much offence to people as they possibly can. I mean, they're picketing funerals, they're picketing people who are grieving the loss of loved ones, with, you know, absolutely outrageous slogans, outrageous posters, and they are doing
it. I don't know if we should protect their right to say it where they want.
Yeah, to deliberately cause offence, and that's my issue, is that they shouldn't be allowed to do it in those places. They should be moved along. You know, yeah, okay, they have got absolute freedom. Like, his Phelps's podcast, his video cast on the web, he's got every right to put those out. I don't agree with them, but I wouldn't stop him doing that. But I would want to see them stopped protesting and picketing at funerals. That's kind of where I draw the line, really.
I think I can feel for what you're saying, but I think in terms of practicality, the Americans have got it bang on, because instead of saying, right, well, we're going to have absolute freedom of speech except here, 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 and here, I think it's easier just to say absolute freedom of speech and we've got to just deal with the consequences.
Unless your name is Private Bradley Manning.
Well, there is that. But I think you're probably going to agree with me, TJ, that, you know, unfortunately, for freedom of speech, you're just going to have to put up with the more unsavoury elements.
Yeah, I think that you have to defend the things that you might find utterly repulsive. He's very sneaky. He doesn't go so far as to say, I'm encouraging people to do anything. God's the one that's going to do it all.
Yeah.
He's just saying that some guy that he knows very well, nobody can prove exists. Sorry, Steve.
Is all right.
Do dreadful, dreadful things.
We've already been down that. We've already had that conversation. So, you know, you're not going to get any chat back on that. I just think, you know, God's a pretty good scapegoat. I mean, unless one court is going to put out a warrant for his arrest or something. Because apparently...
in America, they've got various police departments have decided to put up like a barricade where they'll keep him a certain distance from the funeral.
God or Phelps.
And yeah, plus any protest against the Phelpses as well. Because... that way they can maintain that there's a sort of neutrality about it. And they're still saying that freedom of speech is being upheld. It's just that you're not allowed to go over there and...
Yeah, and do you know what? I kind of think that's perfectly reasonable. If they're banning the anti-protest as well, you know, using the same, you know, legislation then to each group, fair enough. I think that's absolutely reasonable. But yeah, like I said, I mean, for me, I just... Freedom of speech, it's a funny old thing. I you know, fully believe that people should have the right to say what they believe and what they think.
Unless it offends somebody.
Unless they are deliberately setting out to offend people, which the Phelpses are doing.
Mm.
You know, you can offend people by accident. I'm sure we've offended people on the podcast, but I never deliberately set out to offend people.
But again, though, you're going for things that you assume to be true without proof. I'm fairly sure that the Phelpses do intend to annoy people, so much so that they'll get punched and then they can sue them.
Well, I think they've pretty much admitted this.
You can't prove it in court.
But yeah, I think they pretty much admitted this as such when they said that they wanted to provoke reactions. I mean, the Louis Theroux documentary, when one of the boys got hit with a can on the head, you know, they were yeah. You know, this is what we want. We want people to respond to what we're doing. So that, you know, they do deliberately set out to offend people. That is what they're all about. They make no apologies for it.
Mm. I mean, I think the reason why I disagree with Steve ultimately, and this will probably sum it up, is that I don't agree that people have a right to not be offended. I don't agree with that at all. You know, there's plenty of things that offend me that I wish, hey, sweet. If they banned that, they'd make a lot of people happy because it is offensive. But unfortunately, you can't do it.
Cool.
Hey, TJ.
Yeah.
Are you going to give us a little news story that hopefully will make me angry or something?
I've got a couple of things I'd love to share with you. One of them, I don't know if you noticed this one, it happened in a podcast last week called Think/Rant.
Oh, yeah.
Although it possibly should have just been called /Rant because the thinking fell apart fairly early on.
Oh, I love this. This is self-criticism. I love it. Okay. Hey, I'm up for this. Go on then.
I'm sorry. I've just been invited in, taking a crap on the carpet, and then leaving.
That's right, because we always just click disconnect story. Anyway, you know, so it's fine.
I'm not into censorship.
Yeah, but you might have a fail on the computer, John.
No. Okay, then. Go on, then. Give us both barrels.
Okay. It was when you guys were talking about the inequality that Europe have just enforced about car insurance.
Yeah,
right.
You were saying that it's... now become a massive inequality against men, or it had been an inequality against men, and now it's been settled and resolved. And Steve, you said you have had a bump in your car.
Yes.
And it was your fault.
Yes.
In the first 12 years of driving.
Absolutely. I wrote
a quote here. Yes, there is evidence out there that young male drivers are a greater risk, without adding, in fact, it's me.
My point was there that I have had one bump, which was very, very low miles per hour, about 5, and caused a scratch on the car. It wasn't a serious road traffic accident. I guess that was the point I was trying to make, although not very clearly.
Sure, but
I think the public opinion, the popular opinion is that young men are ripping up and down the road at 80, 90 miles an hour constantly, killing kids, banging into cars, smashing their own cars up, smashing other people's cars up. And I guess what I was trying to highlight, although obviously not very well, was because you're absolutely right, it doesn't make any sense, is the fact that actually that's not the case.
Yeah, there's a problem with it in that... you brought up the analogy, the pair of you, about potential racial discrimination for criminal behaviour, for example.
Yeah.
And we know that there is unfair discrimination against young black males being found guilty of criminal behaviour, and that's unfair because of a racial bias in things like the investigation of the minority, and certainly in stop and search. And all of that bias can be explained, if anybody wants to look on YouTube for Not the 9 O'Clock News sketch, Constable Savage. I don't know if any of you guys are old enough to remember.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson. I remember that.
I don't actually remember that sketch.
No, I do.
Brilliant, funny, and unfortunately still true. But the discrimination towards young male drivers isn't based on any of those kinds of criteria, because they've got a complete set. They get their incidences of claim through insurance companies, and that's what they can use to determine that young male drivers are far more likely to have an accident.
Yeah, no,
they've got all the details they need.
Yeah, and I think I can just put it into clarify what TJ's saying, right? Is he's saying that black people being targeted more, okay, that's wrong because they've been targeted for the wrong reasons. They've not been targeted because they are, in actual fact, evidence
saying that
more of them are criminal.
The evidence is
for...
So that's the discrimination there. But what we're saying is that... Sorry, what TJ is saying is that basically it's not true discrimination. It's not true discrimination. What they're saying is they're discriminating against reality. They're discriminating against the evidence, which you have to do, surely.
Yeah, no, okay, no, I fully take that on board. I mean, I guess I would just say using the well, no, it wouldn't work, actually. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to go down that road.
okay.
That's fine.
It's the nature of insurance companies. It's what they do, and they're evil for doing it. I won't defend them for
I just disagree. I just disagree that it's unfair to tar everyone with the same brush. That's my point. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are plenty of...
In that case, how would you police life insurance?
Because nobody gets
life insurance is dead yet.
No, this is true, and you know, but it's the same with insurance. But you know, not everyone is going to have an accident, but we pay insurance. You know, house insurance. Yeah. My house isn't going to burn down. I still pay house insurance, or it may not burn down, I guess. But you know, that's my point with insurance, is that it should just be a fair price across the board.
Well, yeah, no,
that's my thought on it, because there are, and taking myself out of the picture, obviously, there are young male drivers who go throughout the whole of their young driving life then without having any accident at all. And they're being penalised unjustly because of the behaviour of others.
That's true, but it's the nature of the system.
I just think that's wrong.
Use the information they've got to make those kind of distinctions.
Personally, I feel that's wrong. I just think it's wrong that I could be potentially discriminated against because I may fit a certain demographic. Which I just think is absolutely wrong, to be honest with you. And it's the same, you know, I know young women drivers who've had similar accidents, but they're already paying a lower rate of insurance. Okay, it may not be the same frequency, but it does happen.
But it'll be interesting to see now, is there going to be a follow-on European court case where they decide that it's unfair to have younger drivers pay more than older drivers because it's ageist, because that is a form of discrimination. Mm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take this now to the logical conclusion, what happens if they suddenly do work out that, say, Asian men are better drivers? You know, are they not going to be allowed to pass that on to Asian men? Because that would be discriminatory against black and white men?
Absolutely. No, I don't think they should be. That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, you pay a fixed rate for your insurance. Mm. You know, you pay for insurance based upon the vehicle you got and the value of the vehicle, and that's what you pay. And if you are somebody then who has a propensity for high accident, you lose your no claims bonus. That's your penalty.
Okay.
TJ? I'd love to pay a fixed rate for my life insurance, given everything that's wrong with me.
Yeah, but, I mean, TJ,
you'd pay more for me.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, is what about life insurance? Are we going to say it's not fair to charge people with serious heart conditions more than somebody who's perfectly healthy?
I don't know enough about life insurance.
I
don't know enough about it. I don't have life insurance. I haven't purchased it. But so I've got absolutely no idea to benchmark that against. Because, I mean, I guess, really, if I had a known heart condition, I couldn't get life insurance. I'm guessing.
Well, no, you could. It just cost you a fortune. That's the point. That's what we're saying.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's something I can't comment on because I've got no understanding of it.
Okay.
Sure. But the final thing to think about the insurance companies is they could quite easily try and challenge this ruling, but because they've got the money to do it. But why would they? Because all it means is they have to charge their customers more. Oh, no.
Yeah, well, that is...
That's win-win for them, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I mean, we did say
that. Damn it, I've changed my mind.
We did say that at the end.
Bring them down.
All they're going to do is just even it out so that everyone pays a bit more. So, I personally, I just think that you're going to be penalising people for being statistically going to be better drivers. You think you just don't like profiling? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's fair enough. And you know, there's other arguments against profiling. But thanks for bringing that up, Trev.
Yeah,
that's good. Okay. One. You should take a stand, brother. Fight the power and don't insure yourself against anything.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Don't worry about it. Just
question. What if you had a sex change? Would the insurance company give you...
That's a very good question.
Would they give you female insurance?
That's a very good question. Would I be able to use Sheila's wheels? You know?
Exactly.
I think they would, because you drive so much more carefully to protect all the work you'd had done.
There is that.
You wouldn't want to risk the airbags going off in front of them.
Yeah, but on the other hand, he could be painting his nails while in the outside lane. It swings and roundabouts. Am I crossing some kind of sexist threshold now? I don't know.
No, I think it's just the thin end of the wedge, John.
Fair enough. Okay, Steve, have you got a happy story for me?
I haven't got a happy story as such. I mean, I have got something just, you know, I just think it's a bit unusual, really, which is why I wanted to talk about it. TJ, I'll just ask you, you know, if you were a professional computer hacker, you know, you were the absolute top of your game as far as hacking computers were going, you know, there was nobody out there better than you. And you were in Russia.
Like one of those guys that's got four keyboards and two screens.
Yeah, like Jean-Michel Jarre.
Playing like a piano.
Yeah.
Like off of the telly.
Like off of the telly, exactly. And, you know, if you were in Russia, what would you choose to hack?
Well, porn. It wouldn't matter where I was. That's what everybody hacks, isn't it? They might spend 5 minutes hacking NASA, but the rest of the time, the 23 hours and 55
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, but you wouldn't necessarily be hacking porn, but you'd be looking at porn, you know, which is a different thing. But
No, hacking to get more free porn.
To get more free porn. Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough, yeah. The only reason I was asking is there's a chap, I lost the story now, unfortunately, off my iPhone, but...
Don't buy iPhones, people.
No, it's my ineptness which has caused it to go, not the iPhone. There's a guy in Russia who's just been sentenced to 18 months in prison because he hacked the roadside notice board and started streaming hardcore porn through it.
You? See, he knew it was going to involve porn.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's computers, isn't it? What else are computers for? Which I just thought was quite amusing, to be honest with you, that, you know, there's a... You know, you could go and hack, you know, bring down the government or something. But no, I'm just going to change my local advertising hoarding to porn. It just amused me.
Was that a roadside thing, did you say?
Yeah, it was a roadside thing, yeah.
So, yeah, another thing to skew the insurance figures.
Yeah, he's got a point there.
Well, it doesn't say it was straight porn.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't say it was, you know, it involved man or woman. It didn't, you know, it could have been full on gay porn. It could have been lesbian porn.
Seriously, the guy's a computer hacker. It's going to be full on.
I think you're making an assumption there, John.
Yeah, but it's for comedy effect. So, you know, it's going to be anal.
No, that's not what it's going to be. Or bukkake.
Guys driving automatic cars are going to be far safer than guys driving
a See, so driving automatic cars should be cheaper.
I do. My insurance is no cheaper.
Oh. But you have a lot more fun driving than other people. Okay. Before we move to Trev, I'm just going to alternate between TJ and Trev. I don't care. We got our little feature now that I want to introduce.
Okay. It's a new one on me as well.
I need to create a jingle for it, but I'm not musical. We need a new jingle for the whole podcast, so if there's anybody out there who can actually do something like that, then please email me. But this is the new feature called Guess the Year.
Okay. Beautiful, Jonathan. Beautiful.
Monkey news, you motherfucker. Shout back to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Serious now. So this is a competition now.
Okay.
Right? Whoever wins this gets a pint off me next time you see me. That's how it works.
Right, okay. Sounds so good to me.
There is an incentive.
Pint of water, John? A pint of water? I know you.
No, it's a pint of a reasonably priced beer. Okay.
Fair enough.
I hate having to qualify stuff like that all the time. Okay, here we go. So it's called Guess the Year, right? And what's going to happen is I'm going to announce... things that happened during the year.
Okay.
Okay, so now, when one of you thinks that you know the year, say your name. Do you want to have a go now?
Steve?
TJ, or Trev, depending on which one. Trev, I just want to point out, I don't normally call myself TJ, but yeah. John said, do you mind if I call you that? Because I know some people called Trev, and I like them. I don't mind, that's fine.
I can sometimes I can sometimes say things which don't come out right. Okay. Anyway, carrying on with the rules of the game. So you say your name,
Steve.
Trev, TJ. You can call yourself whatever you want, as long as you're not going to call yourself Steve. This game's going to work. Okay.
Oh God, I'm so tempted to call myself Steve.
Trev.
No. Come on, serious.
Sorry, John. We'll be serious.
We've only got an hour, remember?
Okay.
Right, okay. So, now, whoever shouts out Okay, I'll go to you. Give me the ear. If you get it right, you win the beer.
Okay.
If you get it wrong, you're locked out. Okay, and the next person gets to hear the next clue.
So it's a bit like going for gold then.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't just shout out, you know, 1920, 1921, 1922. You know, you've got to, it's got to be a serious guess.
1923.
Okay, and also, no Googling. So no iPhone.
My phone's down. You can see my phone's down.
And we're
going
to have to do an honesty thing with you, TJ. Okay, no Google, no nothing.
So good job. I'm not doing this next to some kind of device that might access a
Yeah, I know.
Full of
well,
knowledge.
I know you're next to such a device, but you're just going to have to, you know, be honest, you know. It's for fun, okay? I might just buy you a beer anyway.
Honesty.
But we'll see.
Okay. Honesty. Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay, here we go. So, clue number one. September the 1st this year, the American Pioneer 11 becomes the first spacecraft to visit
Trev,
Saturn.
It was this year.
Nope.
Because he just said September the 1st this year.
Yeah, this year that I'm talking about. The year that we're trying to guess.
Ah, Trev the pedant. Nice.
I'll always go for that.
Sorry, in this... not this year, but the year we're talking about, September the 1st. Oh, we weren't even had September the 1st this year. What are you on about? It visited Saturn when it passed the planet at a distance of 21,000 kilometres. Do you want a free guess?
I'll have a free guess, and I'll say 1973.
No. Okay, here we go.
What passed Saturn?
Pioneer 11.
Are you typing that in? Or are you using Google Voice Search?
No.
No getting family, friends, whatever to run off. There's just no cheating. Okay, right. Okay, second clue. April the 22nd, Albert Einstein Memorial is unveiled at the National Academy of Sciences in Washington, D.C. No? Okay, I'll continue. In this year, October the 16th, a tsunami in Nice, France, kills 23 people. Obviously, the clues get better.
Are you sure all this stuff actually happened?
Yeah, no, it did
stuff
happen.
That I wouldn't care about.
Yeah.
It did happen, and the clues get better, you know.
Easier, you mean, yeah?
Yeah, you know what I mean. In this year, Douglas Adams wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
77.
Nope. Steve, 1978.
No, you're wrong. Right, I can't lock you both out of the next question, so we'll continue. In this year, Iran's government becomes an Islamic Republic.
Steve, 1979?
Yeah, I'm afraid you win the beer, Steve.
God.
Yes.
But you, at least you both knew it was in the 70s. Oh.
Did that work as you planned it, John?
It needs a jingle. It definitely needs a jingle. And it needs some serious players.
I see. I only came onto Hitchhikers with the TV series. And I had imagined that the radio series was so much, much earlier than that. Got it.
Yeah, see, I hadn't actually read Hitchhikers. I'm afraid to say I've only ever seen the more recent film. But I got it from the Iranian.
Yeah. There was another Iranian clue because later on I do mention, well, was going to mention the crisis and the embassy, and everyone knows that was 79, of course. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Trev,
sure.
Have you got a little, are you going to give us another story?
Yeah, sure.
Is it another one related to a podcast that you listen to?
I may have one or two other. Well, actually, I've got a little thing to say about that. Actually, I just said on a podcast I've got a little thing. I'll have to.
Yeah, we can't edit it out.
Can't edit it
either.
Out, mate. It's
damn
life.
It, damn it.
I know
it's
at least three people who now know that you have a small penis.
No. Yeah, when you were saying about that wonderful phrase "pass the mind bleach" last week.
Yeah.
About Anne Widdecombe, who refused to give an award to a lingerie company.
Yeah.
Because apparently of her Catholic beliefs.
Yeah.
The only thing that occurred to me was there is no logical way that the Catholic Church can be against lingerie. It just doesn't stand up. For this reason, if a married couple want a child, but the man can only achieve erection wearing a nappy, for instance, with a terrapin hanging from either nipple, then God necessarily supports nappy turtle sex. So if a guy can only get wood when his missus is wearing lingerie, then God supports lingerie.
Yeah, I have to
there
be honest.
No
I think it's anti-Wood when you think about Anne Widdecombe in lingerie, though.
She is anti-word.
to be brutally honest.
But if there's one thing the internet's always told me, is there is a niche for everything. There's always... Have you seen the collection of websites out there? There is so many
different niches. I've seen your history, John, yes.
And it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me that if you did actually manage to get a website with pictures of Anne Widdecombe in lingerie, I bet you would take several
credit
card numbers.
It would be popular. It would be popular.
Several credit card numbers. They're probably
David Cameron would be there straight away.
All the Tories.
I think she's actually Disney's eighth dwarf, Frumpy. She looks like a cartoon.
She ate Disney's eighth dwarf, did you say?
She ate the other seven. She became the premier dwarf. So, well, thanks very much.
I've got some other things that popped up on the internet. And I thought I'd play a bit of a game called Which Dodgy Story is the Dodgiest Story? For you.
Oh, I love these kind of games. Okay.
there's a little dodginess to either one.
Okay.
It's a far more difficult question than which dodgy Tory is the dodgiest Tory.
Okay.
Which the answer is clearly shambolic meat sculpture and optimism thief George Osborne. Or it could be that, did you see that guy, Alan Cairns? He asked a question to Prime Minister's Question Time, and he stood up and said, "Can I just asked my honourable friend that some people said some things," and then he just sat down.
Isn't Alan Cairns the MP for Vale of Glamorgan?
Yeah, he is the MP for the Vale of Glamorgan.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh my god!
So it's a local guy
doing South Wales Pride.
Yeah, but sorry, carry on.
Okay, there are a couple of stories. One I found was there is to be a Yeti probe after 15 recent sightings of the apparent abominable snowman. There was one on the Daily Express website saying that Russia is setting up a university research institute to study the Yeti after a spate of claimed sightings in Siberia.
Okay.
He's well travelled.
If it's in the Express, it's probably Eagle Princess Bert. Diana in disguise.
No, listen. Who have I got here? There was something said by David Attenborough on Jonathan Ross in 2009, said he believed there was very convincing evidence that Yetis exist. I'm pretty sure that what he actually meant is that there's evidence that there's something else to be explored, and it needn't necessarily be a brand new creature, but it could be some brand new behavior from an existing creature, but it's worth looking for, surely. The other dodgy story is ancient mega rabbit fossils.
They're in the Precambrian.
I don't get it.
No, sorry. That's an evolution joke, I'm afraid. You know how sometimes all the creationists...
Because of the explosion and them being huge?
No, because the creationists like to say that evolution isn't falsifiable because it fits everything so well. So they believe it's, unfalsifiable, but they asked someone, I can't remember the guy's name, and they said, oh, is there anything that would convince you that evolution was false? And he said rabbits in the Precambrian. So I'm sorry, I got a nerd joke out, and there's two people who didn't get it.
And what does that tell you?
Wow.
I'm disappointed.
It tells me that there are going to be some very nerdy people giggling to themselves on buses listening to this podcast and feeling ashamed. You should be ashamed.
Thank you.
But, okay, carry on with your story. Classified as a rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classified as a rabbit, which are generally small, cute, big-eyed, twitchy, nervous, big-footed, hopping things. This thing is six times the size, has poor vision and hearing, tiny eyes and small ears. It was calm, peaceful, and slow, and it couldn't hop. So a rabbit, not at all. Basically.
Yeah, it doesn't sound.
And
like
they've got a guy called Brian, a professor called Brian Kratz, who said, it's unclear whether their feet would have been decent good luck charms.
I'm just thinking, that I think there's a crossover between those two stories, to be honest with you. I think, you've answered the Russians' question there. You know, there's obviously a throwback genetically, still living in Russia, of this big-footed rabbit hopping around the tundra. Or not hopping, as the case may be, gently ambling. bumping into trees and things.
Which
they can't see
those?
Them.
Which of those stories pisses off you guys the most?
Let me think now. I mean, Bigfoot one. It's only slightly pisses me off. I'm afraid the second story pisses me off the most because he sums it up with talking about having good luck from rabbit's feet. That personally really annoys me. Steve?
I'm just actually equally amused by both of them. Neither of them really piss me off. I just find both of them amusing, to be honest with you.
Okay.
TJ? I mean, the second story does sound like it was written by Marcus Popper.
It does sound like it was written by Marcus Popper, doesn't it? But no, go on, what's your the one that pisses you off the most, TJ?
The one about the Yeti, it is at least something that's unexplored so far. So when they put in crazy pictures into newspapers and on websites, at least they haven't got anything real to base it on. So you can't blame them that bad. But this Professor Brian Kratz, who talked about the unbunny-like bunny fossil, he's an assistant professor in the Department of Anatomy at the College of Osteopathic Medicine of the Pacific.
I told you the whole thing was ridiculous.
I have
that's
no
where I've
idea
got my degree
why this
from.
Guy... I'm not going to say that the guy is not qualified, but... No, I'm going to leave it there. Why is he the guy to talk about a weird ancient bunny fossil?
I reckon that
possibly, because he's the guy who says stuff about good luck charms and annoying sound bites.
Yeah, see? It's good luck charms. Gives them away every time, all the woo doctors. Okay, so we got a quarter of an hour. So...
Brilliant Emo Phillips moment. You've been a wonderful audience.
Yeah,
I still have another hour.
No, I mean that in a good way because I'm surprised how quickly it's all gone.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
going,
it
it's
means
going
that,
quite swimmingly at the moment.
Yeah, and unfortunately we are limiting ourselves to an hour these days. So what we're going to do, if that's okay, I mean, did you have anything frightfully interesting left, TJ?
That's not to say that what you
I
have said so
said
far isn't
frightfully
interesting, TJ.
Podcast long.
Okay. Right, I wanted to do a little, just get your opinion on something. We'll have a little free talk now, okay? I've been watching Michael Sandel's Justice, What's the Right Thing to Do. Have you caught that one, TJ?
Yeah, I've caught all of them. They're great.
Right, okay. So, and Steve hasn't seen them yet, so you know, maybe it'll be interesting to see what he's got to say. But the one I watched was about, you know, consequentialism, basically. And you know, I'm a big fan of consequences as a way to guide our decisions, but obviously it's not always straightforward. He gave
that
the
must be a wonderful way to live your life because every time you do something, you must be chuffed.
Yeah, and every time I don't
you do
something,
and there you go as a consequence.
Yeah,
I would be so happy.
The
okay, sorry.
That's all right. I just thought you were going a bit random there for a second. Are you okay? Can you check your pulse or whatever it is that you do? Are you all right? Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll make me pay for this, so you know, I don't feel too guilty about it. He gave the example of a car company, American Automobile Company. They made cars, obviously. That's what they do. They were infamous that they had a petrol tank at the back which was known to explode on impact quite frequently. So obviously they took a look at that and said, how much is it going to cost us to replace this fuel tank on all these cars? You know, a callback and everything like that. And it worked out something ridiculous, like $100 million or whatever. And then they asked, well, how much is it going to cost if we just pay out a certain amount of money for every death caused? And then they worked that out as $300,000. So what they did is they effectively put a price on life. Okay. So this email was leaked. There is a specific term for it. Cost. You're looking at the cost effectiveness of both solutions. Yeah. Okay. So the question posed was, can you put a price on a human life? Now, before Trev goes, because he does have a degree in philosophy.
No, I think you should let Trev go first.
No.
I'm feeling very inadequate now. I think Trev should go first.
I told you about this series a while ago. So.
Yeah, but I just haven't had a chance to watch it. I'm a busy man.
I genuinely, we're not going to take the mic. Go on.
We're not going to take the mic. No, let's start with Trev. Trev's a guest.
Oh, Trev, can you listen to this? I mean, it's just.
I know.
Okay then, Trev, go on then.
I can't because I've got some vague and ill-defined diabetic crisis that will take at least 2.5 minutes for me to resolve.
Okay.
So I'll get back to you.
All right then, Steve.
So you're leaving me in it. Thanks, Trev. Cheers for that. Can you put a cost on the human life? That's the question you're basically asking, yeah?
Yeah, and also, if you can, I'd like to know how much, because that is the question he poses.
£27.50.
Is that how much money you took out the guy's wallet after you stabbed him?
Yep, that was it. I don't know. I mean, you know, my initial thought was going to be, no, you can't put a cost on human life, but you're going to come back at me with some crazy-ass thing saying that, yes, you can. So, you know, I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't here, you know?
Well, just humorous. Have a think about it, you know, explore it, you know? Obviously, you're allowed to talk while you're exploring it.
Well, no, because you guys told me to think. No, I would say my personal opinion is that, no, you can't put a cost on human life. And from the example which you've given, I think the company should have fix the problem rather than just damage limitation.
Okay, so you don't, obviously in that situation, you don't go with the consequentialist.
Come on, hit me with
no,
it.
No.
You've always got an agenda, John. You've never not got an agenda, so I know there's something coming.
No, there's not. I just wanted to see, you know, a serious discussion about, you know, what, I mean, do you, the only thing I was going to say was, maybe do you think that saying that you can't put a price on human life is just being naive, because we do it every day, don't we, really?
Yeah, to, I mean, to some extent we do, and that's that. I guess, you know, that's maybe a natural thing, but in the case of the specific example that you gave, then I think they made the wrong decision.
A wrong decision from what point of view?
Just morally, ethically, I just think, you know, to say that we're going to bury our head in the sand and say that what we'll do is damage limitation and not fix the problem purely for profit is what I think is wrong in that.
But what about the NHS, who say that there's a drug that can save...
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
No, like X amount of lives, but it costs a stupid amount of money. Coming. Are the NHS... are you saying that they're wrong to say we're not going to fund this drug?
It's a very difficult question, and I would have to hold my hand up and say no, I think they are wrong to say that they're not going to fund it.
Okay. TJ, are you still with us? Are you...
I was completely lying.
I know you were, but I don't think Steve worked it out. But
no, I purely worked it out, thank you very much. I did totally get that. I may give the impression of being stupid. I'm not.
But that's what makes the podcast work, my man. It's fantastic.
Thanks, Trev. I like the patronising. Thank you.
Sorry. No, you are a very wise man, because you're quite right that he did have that in his back pocket. He knows very well about what NICE did in this country. I can't remember what they're an acronym for, but the body that determines whether drugs on the NHS are viable or not.
Mm-hmm.
They actually put... they define a unit... What's it called? A quality life year or something? A qual they bring it down to. And so they say, if you take this drug, you might live an extra 5 years, but there'll be a painful 5 years. Well, if it's a painful 5 years, then they're worth about half as much.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to seriously degrade across those 5 years, then the quality, the spending power, basically, of your each subsequent year gets less and less. And it's something that you have to do when there's so many possibilities available that you could spend your money on, some of which are saving lives and some are just making lives slightly better. Unfortunately, you have to do it. But that's why we have politicians, so we can elect them to make horrible decisions and then hate them for it afterwards.
Yeah, we can get them to go and start all the wars for us and then blame them for it after.
Yeah, that's why I think Nick Clegg is brilliant. He's taking everybody's hate.
TJ's a big Nick Clegg fan.
He's a hate magnet.
He is a hate magnet. I mean, we basically think he is. Personally, I think he's more Jesus-like than Jesus himself. As in, as far as the sacrifice goes, he is the sacrificial lamb.
Falling on his sword.
So
I think that's a very good point. Ask Nick Clegg to catch a marble if you ever see him and see if he can make it.
Drops it. Thanks. I'm gonna next time I go to a Lib Dem conference. I'm gonna take a bag of Maltesers with me. Hey Nick, do you like Maltesers? Oh yeah.
Yeah. I just throw the bag, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. You can only get your stigmata jokes from this podcast. So, I mean, I kind of knew Trevor was going to be fully loaded on that one.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, well, it's absolutely right. I mean, you know, I guess the initial response is to say, oh, no, the drug should be available to everyone. But, as Trev quite rightly said, there is a cost. Physical cost, financially. And there's the cost of, you know, bearing it up against quality of life.
And we talked about this before.
Because we spoke about quality of life before. And,
yeah, but we were talking about consequence, you know, of saying things like, why should we be letting an old person die if we can save a young person? Was that a fair trade-off? Mm. And we agreed that it wasn't necessarily, because, you know, that's just a bit arbitrary, picking a young person when an old person can achieve so much more, etc. Mm-hmm. So we didn't necessarily agree with that. However, we did end up by saying that resources are finite, and so these decisions, by definition, have to be made.
Yeah.
So... am I saying anything you don't agree with there, Trev?
No, you're hitting the nail on the head there. They're horrible, horrible decisions that most people don't like to think about at all. But you have to do it. The good news, though, when they're coming out with drugs, at least, is that they only stay expensive for a certain amount of time, and then they...
you get generic ones.
Yeah. They can become generic.
Sure. Okay.
So, in a horrible bit of bringing us back to reality, then... in case anybody's listening and thinking, oh no, my life isn't worth living because they won't give me the drugs, then at least they get cheaper.
Hang on for another 5 years because they'll get cheaper.
That's right. If there's one motto I want everyone to take away from this podcast is the drugs get cheaper.
I mean, look at cocaine now, the street price.
Yeah, it's just dropped right down. It
used to be like 80 quid, but now, I mean, school kids can afford it.
Exactly.
I thought I'd just suggest it, but you just go right out.
But, you know, school kids won't be able to afford it.
Tell them where to get it.
Much longer, because they're on their grant removed from, aren't they? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dear, dear. Right, I just want... right, we got 3 minutes, so I just wanted to hit this quick. I'm sorry if you had more, Trev, but you'll just have to come on another time, I'm guessing, because we've had a good time.
Yeah, it's been good.
Alrighty, so, great.
Have you heard about the independent living allowance has been closed for further subscribers? This is something that, you know, I think it's close to a lot of people's hearts. Somebody, you know, people that has a disabled relative or loved one or friend or whatever, and they're able to live at home because of this allowance, you know, rather than just being all chucked into one big hospital to say, you know, and be cared for.
What was it called again? It might be something I'm on.
Yeah, sure. It's the independent living. It's the Independent Living Fund, and it's basically it was created. I believe it was created in 88. Basically, yeah, it was the idea to give 20,000 disabled people.
It's not very conservative.
No, I know, but it was to give them the support they need so they can live independently at home, out of residential care. Now, this basically the existing users get to stay on it, but what they're saying is they're closing new admissions.
So, what are we going to do with new admissions then?
I take it.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, you haven't heard this.
Either you take a position that you think it's a bad idea and it should stop, or you think it's a good idea and should continue. But to say, you know what, you've already got it, you can keep it, but everybody that comes after you, they don't deserve it.
Yeah, I mean,
for the arbitrary reason that I don't feel like.
That is a bit of a slap in the face to, you know, people who are born a year late, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But not just that, but so what do you think? Do you think it's an expense that we as a society should be affording?
Well,
or?
I don't know the economics of it, I guess, but my initial thought would be that the cost of keeping people in residential care actually is going to be more expensive.
I don't think that's the case.
I'm trying to justify it in my mind why the Tories would have put it through in 88 in the first place. There must have been some sort of cost benefit.
There is a case for what you're saying. Somebody who's living independently is going to be putting more back into the society in general, redistributing their money. It might not be, yeah, it could probably be more expensive, but maybe greater distribution of wealth.
I'm thinking, however, that surely, I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't love the Tories. I know it's a coalition, I know, but I'm thinking that somebody must have looked at this. They're not that stupid that they would just close something without thinking about the consequences. Surely.
Oh, they're not stupid, they're evil.
Yeah, I'm with Trevor on that one. I'm trying to think why a Tory government in the first place would bring in something like an independent living fund. There must have been a reason for Margaret Thatcher to bring in a fund.
Maybe she had a family member who she wanted to
help. Yeah, there must have been something in there, which can only be cost. I mean, you know, that's what drives the Tories, surely. So there must have been
something
some sort
they
of
could
saving.
Point to, so they could say, look what we did. This is the one thing that we did which proves that we care.
That we are human.
That we're not evil.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up shortly. So just go on, what do you think about it? Do you think good move, bad move? Or do you want to research and come back next week and let me know?
Gut reaction would be that it's a bad move. I wouldn't mind doing some more research into it, because for me, I would just think that independent living would be cheaper than institutionalised living. Because institutionalised living, you're paying for care around the clock. You're paying for staff to be manning that sanatorium, that institution.
The staff are shared amongst a
large
number of
people. I still think there's a greater cost in that, but I would need to look into that to try and work it out. But I think it's a bad thing.
TJ, you got a gut
reaction? I think
there?
It's the most appalling intellectual dishonesty, which is typical of the Tories. It's giving disabled people a kick in the nuts, but taking their shoes off first. Oh, thanks so much.
King of the analogy. That's going to have to be your new name, I think. Yeah.
You couldn't settle on TJ or Trev, so you're going for King of the analogy.
Yeah. It's more memorable. I thought TJ was going to be memorable, but it wasn't. We're going to have to decide what are we going to call him from now on.
Well, King of the analogy. You've just decided it for us, John.
Analogy King.
Or we can just pretend.
No, if you call me Analogy King, that means my first four letters are anal. Kind of that. I'm not having that.
Could we just call you AK?
That sounds like I'm trying to name myself after a gun. That's the saddest thing in my life.
Or a generic version of KY Jelly or something. It's cheaper.
Happy Shopper KY Jelly. How far we've come in an hour.
It always goes full circle. You know, we start off serious, end serious. We start off having a laugh. We end up talking absolute tripe. Well, I'm going to close up. Hang on, I got to do some plugging of stuff, haven't I?
Yeah.
I'll thank you in a minute, Trev, if that's all right. I've just got to say...
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting excited and naked.
No, I didn't even think
that.
Hour. He might be sat there naked.
He might be sat there. He might have been watching porn whilst we're talking, you know?
Ah, good point. He did go a bit silent. No, there's a bit of a shuffling sound.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to plug the new blog, because we now have a new blog, because the old one's dead. So the new blog is thinkrant.blogspot.com.
Hail to the king.
Yeah, there's a rant on there already from Steve about Richard Littlejohn and his comments on the Japan disaster. But, as usual, this will be available to download on iTunes, and it will be available to download from the new blog. And check us out on, obviously, Facebook and Twitter. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Steve?
No, I didn't, other than the fact that I was encouraging people via the Think Rant Twitter page to tweet us during the show, and I've been completely remiss in checking the...
you tosser.
But fortunately, nobody has tweeted us.
Don't say that. I thought you were going to say there's 10 dirty tweets.
So, that's okay.
I'm actually in the process.
What a silver lining that is.
Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant, isn't it?
I'm actually working on having a chat room, which you're going to be watching during the show.
Right, okay, yeah, that's fine.
So that's coming up. But I didn't want to break that news, but, you know, I better do.
We have that, but yeah. So thanks for all your tweets,
people,
everyone.
So listen to this.
They're brilliant.
I can listen to it and think, nobody else.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, TJ, for joining us. And I think we'll probably have you back on. You weren't.
Please
you
do come back. Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't too bad.
Bless. Thank you.
That's right. You know. And yeah, we'll end it there. Thanks very much for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye bye.